Now, Steve Weil is the CEO of the Mustard Seed. I think his perspective on justice sheds light on how Jesus acted.
Good morning. I am honored to spend a few minutes with you this morning, even though it's via video. Micah 6:8 is a very special verse for me, personally. In fact, 30 years ago, I adopted that verse as my life verse, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Pastor Tim has asked me to reflect on how justice drives the Mustard Seed's mission. Our social activism at the Mustard Seed is not focused on rallies. It's not focused on the big issue that is confronting our society. But it is focused on individualizing the social issue. Truth and reconciliation, a big social action issue. Our focus is on the individual First Nation client who potentially has been traumatized or affected by a residential school experience. We work with the one. Another example might be the safety and the support of gay, lesbian, or trans clients who are rejected or abused, working with that one individual to provide the support they need to hopefully move to a better life. Resources for the pregnant homeless woman who chooses to keep the baby, or support for that individual if they decide not to, and provide counseling for them as they try to move forward with their lives. So here at the Mustard Seed, our work is with the one and trying to provide justice for that one individual.
Our work is with the one. Jesus saw a need that was right in front of him. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't heal every person who had the same abnormal swelling. He didn't put everything else on hold so that he could research and study that man's infirmities. He didn't try to eradicate the disease. He just did what he could do in that circumstance. He healed that man. Friends, we won't be able to deal with all the injustices of the world. Some of you, through God's giftings and ingenuity, will make huge differences in certain unjust situations, and that is fantastic. But the amount of injustice in this world will always outpace our ability to make things right. So as we walk humbly with our God, as we love mercy, we will also do justly in the situations that God places before us. I couldn't do much to fix Mumbai, but I have been able to support one man named Selwyn, who works with some of the poorest of the poor in the slums. It's not a huge difference, but it is a small step in the right direction. So how do we know what we're supposed to do? What injustices are we supposed to fight against? I talked with another couple of international workers that we have a close relationship with as a church, Darren and Minako Polischuk, and they sent me this message.
Pastor Tim asked us to share how we are compelled to do what we do because of injustice in the world. In the year 2000 was the first time we felt a strong call to justice that was bigger than ourselves. We went on our first missions trip to Mexico, and we saw poverty like we'd never seen it before. In the heat, with straggly animals and people dressed in rags, living in buildings on cliffs that were eroding. There was a lack of shelter, food, water, education, medicine. The people couldn't even save money to try and get out. Banks wouldn't accept them. They weren't allowed in. Without education, the poor kept making bad choices. And without hope, they began to give up and to pursue sin and wickedness, not caring about anybody but themselves.
Then we learned that 865 million people back then lived on less than $1 a day. And within that, there are approximately 30 million people that are living as slaves into forced labor or trafficked into prostitution. Many are children, Many are forced to become garbage pickers, walking the streets for long hours with something to sell, to junk shops, or worse, some children are rented to brothels. So where's the justice in situations like this? These people are trapped in poverty and violence. How do the people know that there's a God who loves them, who created them? What are we supposed to do? So we felt God calling to create dignified work and work with the poor and teach them about the love of Jesus. So we want the poor to break free from the traps of poverty, which often lead to slavery, not just physically, but of the soul and of the mind too. Our vision is to bring people together through dignified work so then they can support their own families. And then through daily devotions in the workplace, they can find freedom for their souls as well and healing. So, and we took a video of our ladies who are experiencing that right now. Hope you enjoy it.
Oh, you can see from this video that Darren and Minako are doing what they can to fight against injustice. They aren't closing down the garbage dumps where so many poor people are working. They aren't rescuing all the poor, but they're helping a few, the ones who God brings to them. They're giving them dignified work and making things fair. So what has God placed in front of you? What opportunities has God given you that you can bring injustice to, or you can bring justice to an unjust situation? What has God placed in front of us as a church? You know, God has given us some great opportunities to meet needs right in front of us. And we, by God's grace, are trying to step up and bring justice where we can. Because justice is more than just a courtroom edict. When you give here at ACC, I want you to know that a percentage of that money goes directly to help those who are marginalized or who have fallen on hard times. Pastor Heather leads our Mercy Connect ministry here at the church. The goal of Mercy Connect is to come alongside people who find themselves in a difficult situation. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's health related, maybe it's relationship related. She and her volunteers provide listening ear and a warm presence where people can feel safe and accepted. She also works to meet their material needs where she can. If some of their needs cannot be met here, she knows who to refer them to. Because now all the agencies in and around Sylvan Lake are working together to provide the best outcomes. One of the great blessings of this local coalition is that other agencies refer here and we refer them, opening so many doors to speak Jesus into people's lives, which is what we're called to do. We get referrals from over 20 local agencies, schools, doctor's offices, and many more. Last year, because of your giving, Heather was able to disperse about $40,000 to people in need here in Sylvan Lake. Now, the need far exceeded $40,000. But as good stewards, Mercy Connect always makes use of other agencies' monies first, whether it be government programs or other agencies, so that your donations go further. Not only that, but some of you have volunteered with Mercy Connect. And so we're able to offer such services as free haircuts, as the provision of frozen, portioned, home-cooked meals for people who are sick or unable to eat well, help with emergency minor auto repair, budgeting coaching, adult literacy, and upgrading. Thanks to the diverse skills of people in this room, Mercy Connect is often able to step up quickly to meet new needs as they present themselves. And we're blessed to meet many people from many faiths who have come to us for assistance or just a listening ear. Most importantly, we pray for them, just like we pray for each other. Remember, what's good for us must be good for everyone. We also, as a church, give regularly to community partners here in town. They also help those in need in our community. We consider it an honor to be able to partner with them and other organizations in town who are working to treat people with equity and to champion justice where we can. Not only are we trying to make a difference here, but we are trying to reach out around the world. Again, because of your giving, we're able to support the MacGyvers and the Polishchucks who are helping marginalized people around the world. Fair pay for work, dignified employment, basic needs. We're working with Pastor Justin in Uganda to help those who have suffered because of famine. Frank didn't get a chance to mention this, but we were able to provide food for 300, again, because of your giving, provide food for 315 families at different times over 5 months during the worst of their drought. We've helped Pastor Justin and his congregation build a church and a baptismal tank. Again, if it's right that we should have a meeting place, it's got to be right that others should have a meeting place too. Helping Pastor Justin may be making a small difference in poor believers around the world, but a big difference to Pastor Justin. And because of your giving, we've been able to bring small lights of justice to these places. So thank you for being generous and giving to ACC. I encourage you to continue to give so that we can bless those who are in need. Now, there's a third thing I see from this little passage here that I get that about Jesus healing the man. It has to do with Jesus himself and why he came to earth. You see, Jesus came because there is so much injustice in the world. And you would think that with him being so holy and us being so wicked, that he would want nothing to do with us. I remember, as an example, being in the slums in Mumbai. And the first day we pulled up to this one slum area, we were going to do some ministry there. We got out of the van and it smelled so bad. I couldn't handle it. I thought, I need to get back in this van and leave. Because it assaulted my senses how bad it smelled. And then, I mean, these are people living here, beautiful people living there. And then later I was all walking, I had all these children, they all wanted to hold my hand at the same time. And they're smiling their big smiles, and I'm walking with them, and I was paying so much attention to them that I wasn't paying attention to where I was walking, and I stepped into an open stream of sewage. Poosh! And they were giggling, they thought that was the funniest thing in the world, and I'm trying not to throw up, okay? Well, this is a weak comparison to the horrid world that the perfect Jesus stepped into. But he wanted to do that because he loved us so much. He wanted to do that so he could take all of the injustices of the world on himself. For him, it was worth the sewage on his shoes. He took all my injustices as well. Every unfairness that I have perpetuated, every time I failed to stand up for what was right, he took it all. He bore it to the cross and he paid for every sin. He did that so that fairness could be realized. Everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. He offers fairness for eternity. And then in Ecclesiastes, we're promised that every injustice will be dealt with. Says this, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and obey his commands. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The day is coming. It's just a matter of time. So while we live here as broken people in this broken world, let us follow our master's steps and do justly whenever and wherever we can. I love it that we are all equal on this side of the cross. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, strong or weak, healthy or sick, we are all equal in the eyes of God. I am not more valuable than any of those girls in Darren and Minako's sewing center. I won't receive more of God's grace or more of his love or more of his salvation. We all get the same. One day, Jesus will really make all things equal. He is the only one who can bring justice to every injustice on the earth. Justice is a huge need and concern in our world. It's so huge that we can feel like it is impossible to make a difference. But we can. First, we need to admit and confess that we aren't perfect in showing justice. Whether that's injustice to the poor in Africa or to the neighbor down the street. Second, we need to be forgiven by the one who is perfect in showing justice. Jesus gave his life so that our sins could be paid for. Justice could be satisfied. At the same time, he was able to show mercy through his extravagant, humble act and sacrifice. And third, we must out of that justice that we have been shown, we must do what Jesus is asking us to do. If we are driven by anything else, you know, we'll never be at peace. We ask Jesus, where do you want me to show justice? And then we do what he's asking us to do. May God continue to transform us so that we will be able to do what is good and what the Lord requires us to do. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen. I want to close our time again like we always do with some listening prayer. And ask that you would be honest before God. He's here. He's with us. He's alive and wants to speak into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So I just ask that you would open your heart to him and say, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to point out in my life in regards to this or in regards to anything you want to say to me? So let's go to Jesus now and let's listen. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are perfectly just, perfectly merciful, perfectly humble. And Christ, we want to be like you. So I pray that as we listen here now, Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, to our hearts. Say what you want to say. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing to obey. Where is Jesus asking you to show justice? What's in front of you? What steps can you take this week to move into the work that Jesus is calling you? And what do you need from Jesus in order to be able to do justly? What do you need from him? Ask him. Lord, we want to be individuals who do justly. And we want to be a church that does justly. We want to treat people with equality and fairness. And sometimes that's going to mean sacrificing what we've been comfortable with so we can share with others who don't have what we have. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the willingness to do that. Lord, help us not to freeze up, to be so overwhelmed with the huge need that we do nothing. Instead, with laser focus, Lord, let us hear from you of what we can do. Maybe it's giving more so we can support Justin and Darren and Manico and Paul and Chantel. Maybe it's, I don't know, it could be anything. Writing letters to somebody in prison. Volunteering with Mercy Connect. Whatever it is you're asking us to do. That you're asking us to do. Not the guilt and pressure of of everybody around us, but what you're asking us to do, may we hear that and then do that. Do that as individuals and do that as a church. This is who you are. And we want to display who you are. We're your ambassadors. And as your ambassadors, we must do justly. We must love mercy. We must walk humbly with our God. So do that work in us, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.